Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I always, when I read scripture, I like to try to understand things and wrap my mind around things at times, and I use different analogies, I use different thought processes at times when I think about scriptures, when I read scriptures. And oftentimes I find my Bible reading taking a little bit extra time, because I'll read a scripture and I'll stop and I'll ponder it for a while and I'll think about things. I'll think what it means, what the scripture is talking about, and maybe I'll think about something in a natural sense, or I'll remember a life story or something in history or something that helps me to grasp that and wrap my mind around the idea of what it means to cast down an imagination. Anybody here ever listen to Odyssey? Anybody here know what the imagination station is? I was when I think about these verses, many of you, if you've been here any matter of time at all, you've heard me talk about my childhood, my history, being raised in a farm and being raised around cattle and horses, and it never ceases to amaze me how somehow, some way, livestock always escapes captivity. I don't care how long you have them, how short a time you have them, somehow those crazy things, whether it's horses or goats, especially goats, sheep, cows, they all have the ability to escape captivity. Now, usually they don't escape captivity until in the middle of the night. It's inevitable. It's just the middle of the night is when they escape captivity. And it was a knock on the door, usually from the neighbor saying, "Your cows are in my garden." Or when I was a little boy, my dad owned a rough stock company, and they bred and raised rodeo stock. And so what we had at our house were some of the meanest, nastiest looking bulls this side of the Rockies. My dad's theory was if it was ugly and could buck, he wanted it, because that was just, I mean, he had things with horns that went one way and one horn went the other way, things that had eyes gouged out. He had all kinds of crazy looking stuff, because that was all you had back in the 70s and 80s, was just, you just needed mean, nasty looking stuff. And when those guys got out, oh my goodness, the neighborhood literally went into lockdown mode. Elderly ladies screamed. Elderly men ran for their lives. I remember one time hearing a story. I wasn't there. I was very young. But I remember one time my dad had trucked these things to a rodeo in Vinita, Oregon. And if you know Vinita, Oregon, Vinita is the home of the Oregon Country Fair, which has been historically one of the biggest places. It's one of the biggest hemp festivals in the world. So I'm just giving you a little insight into the type of clientele that hangs out in Vinita, Oregon. Well, they had a rodeo of all places in Vinita, Oregon. And somehow, some way, a gate got left open and some of my dad's stock got out into downtown Vinita, Oregon. And there were bucking bulls running wild down Highway 126. And people were going bananas. Somehow they got it. They got into the Dairy Queen parking lot. That was where they finally caught one. Got into the Dairy Queen parking lot. Rammed a couple of cars and did a couple things. These things were crazy. We had one for a while when I was a kid. We couldn't figure out how he was getting out until we finally realized that dude could, like a deer, could jump a 6-foot fence flat-footed. He'd stand there at that fence and look around, and next thing you know, he'd leap that thing, and he was over it and gone. He got shot about the third time. He became hamburger. Nobody liked them things outside of captivity. I'm sorry if that offended you, by the way. That's just reality. One of my coworkers, his neighbors raised buffalo. His wife called him here not long ago and said, Matt, you're never going to believe this, but one of them buffalo are out. They got out. And I had this conversation with Matt before. He said, man, you're never going to believe this. He said, my next door neighbor's got 80 acres and he just put buffalo in there. I said, dude, you watch those things. Because those things are meaner than junkyard dogs. And if they get out, you don't catch them, you shoot them. Oh, no, they could catch these. And they got like this 8-foot-tall, 7-wire, 1,000-volt electric fence on them. There's no way they're getting out. Well, one of them charged the thing, busted through it, and he was on the loose. And he sent me pictures. They caught it in his yard. They were trying to rope it with tractors. They were trying all kinds of crazy stuff. This thing drug horses to kingdom come. And eventually they shot it. It was done. They had beefalo. Nobody likes those things on the loose. So, we went to a rodeo back in September down in Prineville. We were on family vacation, and we all snuck around the backside of the rodeo to the bucking chutes and where they had all the bulls hung out, and everybody was up against the fence, and Tara and Miko were taking pictures with the bulls, you know, and it was all fun and games as long as that Powder River panel is between you and them. But you take the Powder River panel out, and everybody suddenly gets really scared and awkward, and people start running. Why? Because they belong in captivity. Now, on the flip side, there's some that are more docile than others. I knew a girl personally. You can go look them up on the internet. Her dad is Rod Halley, owns Hal Rodeo Company. She bottle raised one of the top bucking bulls in the country. She bottle raised him from a calf because his mother rejected him. So he wasn't necessarily nasty mean, but people looked at him. They always liked the fence between him and them. You got him on the outside of the fence, got him around people. People got scared. So when I think of, when I personally think of captivity, that's what my mind goes to. When I think of casting down an imagination, when I think of trying to corral something and trying to keep something in, that's where my mind goes. And Paul writes to the church in Corinth here, and he starts to give them some instruction. Could you jump to the Amplified real quick? I really like what this says. I looked this up in the prayer room and begin to read to the Amplified here. I really like what this says in the Amplified Bible. It says, now I myself, Paul, beseech you by the gentleness and consideration of Christ himself, I who am lowly enough, so they say when among you face to face, but bold, fearless, and outspoken to you when I am absent from you. I entreat you when I do come to you that I may not be driven to such boldness as I intend to show toward those who suspect us of acting according to the flesh on the low level of worldly motives as if invested with only human powers. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, that they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. And as much as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings, every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Everybody say true knowledge of God. The true knowledge of God is always contrary to human understanding. The true knowledge and understanding of God is and always will be contrary to your human ability, your human intellect, your human ability to logically think through something or to process information. The scripture says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I don't have the ability to think like God thinks. He's God, he's Lord, I'm a mere human being. My brain and my ability to process information is about the size of a peanut in comparison to what God can do and what God knows and what God understands and what he sees. And so Paul writes here and he starts off in the first part of the verse by saying that inasmuch as we have a requirement, we have an obligation as children of God to refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. I don't know what that means for your life, but I do know this, that the battle of your salvation, the difference between whether you stand in glory and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or hear the words, "Rather depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." The difference between you being victorious and hearing those one of those words or the other, and the one that I know I want to hear, is one every single day between these two ears and right behind these two eyeballs. I either get up every morning believing that God is for me. I either arise in the morning believing that God has a plan and a specific purpose for my day. I either get up in the morning believing that God is working for my good, believing that everything that I encounter that day and everything that I'm going to go through is working for my good. He's got a purpose in it. I either get up in the morning believing that, or I get up in the morning believing that, you know what, life is terrible for me, and it's always been terrible, and life's never going to be good, and nothing ever works out for me, and this day is just going to be terrible. I can tell it already because I got up and I already got a headache and I haven't even been out of bed 5 minutes, and the coffee pot, I didn't get the pot pushed in all the way, and so it didn't fill up the pot. It just filled up my counter and onto the floor, and I can just tell this is going to be a bad day. I have a responsibility as a child of God, if I'm going to stay in right standing with God, to refute such arguments that are in contrary or are contrary to the knowledge of God. Amen. Because his knowledge is greater than my knowledge. I can't possibly begin to measure up, no matter how much schooling or education I can gather to myself, how much knowledge, worldly education can help me to gather to myself. I can never measure up to God's knowledge. I can never understand what he understands. I can never know what he knows. He simply gives me a little peek every now and then into that process. And so I have a responsibility, according to scripture, Sister Melick, to have arguments with myself every now and then. It's my responsibility to refute some theories every now and then that I conjure up in my mind. I don't think she likes me. I have a spiritual responsibility to refute some theories every now and then that I let build up in my mind. Who puts them there? It's the enemy of my soul, because see, he doesn't fight with flesh and blood. He's not trying to engage me in a war. When I talk spiritual warfare, I'm not talking about bringing out my AR or my 12 gauge or my 38 special. He likes to fight me in my thought process. It's the only thing he has. It's the only weapon he has. And so if he can drop things into my mind, if he can put things into my memory bank, if he can drop an argument into my spirit, if he can put a theory or philosophy into my spirit and get me to ponder on that and think about that, and then I start to convince myself of all kinds of crazy things that aren't true. Oh, and that, there's some people, they get to the point where they don't even believe God loves them anymore. And he drops such theories into their minds that they don't even know if God's real anymore. How did that happen? At some point, the enemy of their soul dropped something into their spirit. He threw a fiery dart at their mind. It was a simple thought. It was a simple question. It was a simple argument that they refused to refute. Amen. And as long as you refuse to refute it, and as long as you refuse to defeat it in the portals of your mind, I'm not talking about mind over matter here. I'm talking about bringing into captivity. I'm talking about getting control of my thought processes. I'm talking about casting down imaginations. I'm talking about things in my mind that I allow to be built up and allowed to be made bigger than they really are in my mind. I'm talking about stepping into the the spirit realm and getting into the Holy Ghost and casting some of those things down and saying, enemy, you for long enough have had control over my thoughts. What's suicide begin with? A thought. A thought. I'll just end it all. Oh, you probably should. Whose voice would that be? Not God's. You know what? While you're at it, nobody likes you anyway. That, you know, just go ahead. Just go ahead. I'll help you find the gun. It's a simple thought. I'm not downplaying how tragic that is. But it starts with a simple thought. You look at people and you're like, why? Why would he? Why of all people? Mr. Robin Williams, guy's got everything together. Got the world by the tail, all the money and Hollywood and fame and fortune. Why would he do that? It was a simple thought. A simple thought that he refused to refute. A simple argument that he refused to refute. It's that. No idea we're going to talk about suicide today. Suicide is no respecter of persons. It's no respecter of gender. It's not a respecter of social status. It is only a respecter of those who will entertain the thought process. Those who will entertain the argument and refuse to refute it. So we got arguments. We got theories. We got reasonings. Anybody ever tried to reason with yourself? Anybody ever here ever tried to reason with the enemy? Anybody here ever tried to reason with the devil? Anybody ever had the devil try to reason with you? Anybody here ever had someone that just was unreasonable try to reason with you? Brother Tolbert says amen. Amen. Every proud and lofty thing, anything that sets itself up, I've got to cast down. Anything that's in contrast to the knowledge of God. How do I know the knowledge of God? Well, I find the knowledge of God in his word. And so if my thought process, here's just the general rule. If my thought process is in contrast with the word of God, then it needs to be refuted. If the theory I come up with, we like to talk about that a lot in business. You know, I have this theory. If my theory in my mind doesn't line up with the word of God, then I got to refute it. I got to refute my own theory. Because if it doesn't line up with the word of God, then that theory wasn't put there by God. It's my own theory. And boy, can I build theories up. What's the English majors? Help me out here. What's the first line of a book or a paper? Not the preface, not the prologue. When you're writing a paper and that opening line, the opening paragraph, thesis. My theory becomes a thesis, and then I start putting things into reality that aren't reality. I have a responsibility as a child of God to refute those things. Then he stops. And he says, we lead. Everybody say lead. Say we. Say I lead. Now when I think of lead, can the redneck come back for a few minutes? Can redneck speaker come back? When I think of lead. When I got ready to lead something, usually I went to the barn, I went to the tack room, and I got myself a halter and a lead rope, and I got myself a can of grain, because it's most of the time, if a horse isn't hungry and a horse isn't interested in being near you, they don't want anything to do with you. Just try to catch a horse without a halter. So you take a can of grain, because horses are always suckers for grain. As elusive as they are, they'll always come running when that Folgers aluminum tin coffee can, whatever thing was, started rattling. Hide behind a tree, here they go. And mow you over. slip that, get their nose, get that big old horse nose, get it stuffed down in that coffee can, and then rip that coffee can out and slip that halter over their head, and then you got me, grab a hold of it, and you got her by the head. And then, you got me. They're elusive. Thoughts are elusive. And Paul says, you got to lead every thought and purpose. Get your spiritual grain can out. Thoughts that you can't get a hold of, start rattling that thing. And grab a hold of some thought processes that you've allowed to run wild and crazy and outside of captivity in your mind. Get a halter on those things and a lead rope and lead them back into captivity. Amen. Into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. What? Yeah, the Lord's purpose is that my thoughts would be in obedience to Him. He says, Nick, I want you to think about this. Okay, I'm going to think about this. What's the scripture say? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. That's a spiritual mandate. And so if I'm not thinking on things that are good, if I'm not thinking about things that are lovely, if I'm not thinking about things that are of good report, if I'm not thinking about things that are honest, then I'm in disobedience to God, and my thoughts are in disobedience to God. And to get back in obedience, to get back in right standing with God, I've got to go on a thought roundup. Some of us, that's going to take longer than others. Some of us have quite a huge herd of thoughts. Others are small ranchers. We have just a few simple-minded folk. Round them up, get them in a catch bin. Say, you're under obedience to Christ. No more of this letting my mind wander. No more of letting my thoughts wander and what ifs and what about this and what about that. Why do you think Jesus would say in the New Testament? I was reading this the other day. Bishop reads the thing, Bishop's reading the scriptures about if a man finds a wife, it's a good thing. The Lord leads me the scriptures of, I know Moses told you you could have a bill of divorce. Don't read into that. I love my wife. I know Moses said you could have a bill of divorce and you could leave your wife if you wanted and all that, but he lays it out very clear in Matthew. You don't do that. Oh, and by the way, if you even look at a woman in as much as to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. You don't think God cares about thoughts? You don't think God cares about how we look or how I may dress that could provoke thoughts in somebody else? He said, these thought processes are important to me. Get them under captivity. Young men, get them under captivity. Young ladies, get them out of under captivity, mom and dad. It's his intention. He didn't intend for them to run wild. Now I'm going to freak you out. I'm just about done, so whatever musician's coming, you can come. Sunday school teachers are going to hate me today. They're just getting cranked up. They're probably halfway through craft and they're hearing the music. Oh, Jesus. I begin to pray in the prayer room where I've never prayed this prayer before. I'm going to challenge you to pray it. You ready? I speak captivity over my thoughts. Why would I say such a thing? Because I know that thoughts and things that surround your life, things that buffet you on a daily basis, like the rent payment, the car insurance, the lack of groceries, the lack of enough money to buy this and I need it, and the lack of money to cover this. And I understand that these thoughts buffet us. And we walk into the prayer room and we're going. Father, I wanna know what you want for today. Oh man, how am I gonna pay my rent? Let's see. 55 here, minus 5. Man, I better make a mobile transfer right now because my account's about overdrawn. Is that Brother Tolbert's voice over there? That guy never called me back. That dirty, how in the world could he be in here praying and in the Holy Ghost and refuse to call me back? I speak captivity over my thoughts. I speak captivity over my imaginations. I want my thoughts arrested by you, Father. I want my processes of my mind to be arrested by you. I want them locked up in solitary confinement. Why? Because I want to be in obedience to your process. I want to be obedience to your purpose. He didn't stop at thought. He said purposes. I'm not just locking up thoughts, but I'm locking up purposes. Why would I do that? Because I want his purpose. I want his plan. And in order for that to happen, mine's got to be captive. I can't have purposes running wild throughout my mind. I can't have purposes running loose and trashing my neighbor's garden and getting into cars at the Dairy Queen. I got to get them captive. I got to get them in a round pen. I got to get them in the barn. I got to get them captive. Why? Because when I come together and when I'm walking in my daily life and when I'm in this room and when I'm around my brothers and sisters in Christ or I'm on my job, I want his purpose to be played out in my life every single moment of every single day. And his purpose and my purpose can't run roughshod together. Remember me telling you stories about the lead cow? Remember me telling stories about the dominant horse? Remember those stories? Got to lock one horse in the box stall or it steals everyone else's food. My purpose will run his purpose out of a box stall and steal all the food. It'll drain me physically. It'll drain all my energy. And I'll find myself wore out and tired and mentally unstable and on the verge of a nervous breakdown. As long as I let my purpose and my thoughts run roughshod in my life. But when I'll bring them captive and I'll get them under the obedience of the Holy Ghost and I get them all locked up tight, then I can enter back into prayer. Now his voice is loud and clear. Now I can trust. I can trust when he drops that thought into my spirit. I can trust when he drops that vision into my mind in prayer. I can trust that. Why? Because I know that my thoughts and my purposes are locked up over there in the corner and ain't coming out. So I don't have to sit there and decipher, was that me or was that the Lord? Was that me praying those prayers and psalms for Brother Tolbert, or was that the Lord want me to pray those? I don't have to decipher that because I know my stuff's locked up. Why don't you stand? I know we talk a lot about being free, and it's almost anti-apostolic Pentecostal to pray captivity over ourselves, because we're gonna be free. Everybody's free. We like to sing no more shackles, no more chains. We like to shout about being free and dance about being free, so it's almost hard to get that captivity. There's just certain things in our makeup that shouldn't be allowed to run wild. He created me certain ways. He created me to operate certain ways. And there's just certain things. You know what I'm talking about. I don't got to go into details. There's certain things I ought not allow to run rampant in my thought processes. Would you talk to the Lord right now? Take a moment. Take a moment and lock some things up. Take a moment and get some things back in captivity that you've been letting run wild for way too long. Take a moment and cast down some imaginations. Take a moment and bring into captivity some thought processes that you've allowed, some arguments that you've allowed to go unrefuted in your life. In the name of Jesus, right now, Father. We lock it up. We bring it under captivity. Let them be arrested, Father. Let my thoughts be arrested by your Spirit so that your voice can prevail in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King.
He seated
in majesty.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just one second. Some of us struggle with this more than others. The problem with this is once my thoughts begin to run wild and crazy, then I imagine all these things that are going to happen to me, and then I become fearful, and I start to deal with all these feelings. Maybe feelings of rejection, feelings of low self-esteem, low self-worth, feelings of shame. All of this starts right here. It starts by thoughts running wild, uncontrolled. And at times we try, oh, Jesus, help me. And we get them for a moment, and then they're elusive. They slip away, and then, oh, man, then our mind's gone again. I struggle with this. My mind's like a steel trap. It's constantly going. It's harder for some people to shut their mind off. I'm talking about the human mind. I'm not talking about your spirit. But it's harder for some people to shut their mind off and just listen. Listen, listen, listen. I want to hear your voice, Jesus. I want every other voice silenced. I don't want to hear any riffraff. I want to hear your voice. That's harder for some than others. I know I'm being facetious and talking about rounding up an animal. That's all fun and games, but it's not that easy sometimes. I'm going to ask, in no way meaning to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to ask if you would like special prayer today. Not because you have filthy thoughts, not because your mind is in the gutter, but because you want to hear the voice of God in your life. You want His direction. You want His purpose in your life, but you feel like your mind's under bombardment all the time with all these thoughts and arguments, and there's just voices and things all the time that you're battling, and you can't figure out how to decipher between what's the voice of God, what you're supposed to be doing, and what you need to just clean out. It's just clutter. It's constant disaster and constant confusion. I want you to get prayer today before you leave here. And the Lord wants to minister to you today. And He's going to, by His Spirit, by His grace, He's going to help you to bring captivity to some of that stuff. Get it locked up so you can leave here today with clarity of mind. You're going to walk outside and you're going to be like, wow, there's yellow stripes in the parking lot. I never noticed that before. My goodness. The grass is green. So much fog in my mind, so many things that I'm battling in my mind that I didn't even notice things. I'd lost focus of simple things because I was under such attack and such a battle in my mind. Sister Johnson's going to lead us in worship again, and we're going to worship and praise. And as you feel a release too, I'm not asking you to run up. If you want to run up here right now, you're more than welcome to. But as you feel a release and you get enough courage to step out and walk up here, would you do that? And somebody, I promise you, somebody will pray with you today. We'll lay hands on you and pray for you. And the Lord can bring captivity. He can bring captivity to your mind. And in bringing captivity to your mind, He's going to set you free. Lead us at worship, Sister Johnstone. If you're not up here praying, worship with her. Worship the Lord in song. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it rain, Jesus. Let it rain, Jesus. Come on, speak captivity over your thoughts right now. Don't live one more day with your thoughts running amok. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I refute arguments in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name,
open the floodgates of heaven, Lord, wash us with your rain. Let it rain.
Lock them up, lock them up, lock them up.
And baptize us with